well, Arkansas. Davy Crockett was on a mountaintop, and you missed that whole thing, didn't you? Okay. A mountaintop in Arkansas. And learn Christ. You know, but that's all. I'm just here learning Jesus. Because there's no member that can effectively give expression to his fullness. It is a ministry, hon. The reason for seeing Christ is to minister one to another. I wouldn't, darling, you must believe me, sweetheart, and this is not saying, I'm just going to say it, but you must, but I wouldn't get in that truck out there and drive across the street otherwise. I mean, when I'm at home, I don't even come down off of that mountain. Janie can tell you that. Nobody in town knows that she's got a husband. Well, it's almost that bad. And I just wouldn't do it, but, now, see. That's what it's all about. Now, it's not all about me running around up and down the road, but it is about ministry one to another. And I think that one of the things whereby the measure is increased is through the exercise of it. One of the greatest joys I have, and I've told everybody this, but it is sitting before that recorder and doing the monthly tapes. There's nowhere where I'm at more liberty, where I'm at more ease. It doesn't exist. I don't know why. It just isn't. I so enjoy speaking to, because I know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to. I visualize who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to. Exercising the measure. Well, we do that here too. But it just seems like that there on that monthly tape, I'm not restricted by places or different, you know, there I am, things sitting in front of me, and I'm just speaking to you. Exercising the measure. Because when we're out among the Lord's body, let's face it, hon, we exercise the measure that can be received in that place and no more. Now, maybe you don't understand that, but that is the truth. I've experienced it too many times to know differently. I had a pastor call me here a while back, and he was a little worried, I could tell. And so because these tapes go out and everything, I'm not going to mention his name is not important, but he was a little worried. He's a precious brother, but to come and minister to the fellowship that he was in leadership with. And though they had received much of our material and all of that, well, it was because he'd received a lot of the material, I think, because it, particularly the monthly tapes, he hears how I deal with things. You know, I just set it forth. That's the time I get to do that. And he knew he had some tender hearts there. And some who had a desire to see but hadn't seen. And some who were having problems with doctrinal issues that had been uncovered in this search for a greater comprehension of Christ. And I told him, I said, dear brother, and I knew I didn't take exception, I knew his heart and I appreciated his heart. Frankly, I appreciate his heart. But I said, dear brother, I never come to any part of the Lord's body with the intention nor with the attitude to offend the little ones, but to feed such as can be received. And I went on and talked to him. But here's the point. And I understand this, and I've understood it for years. Unless you just blatantly run before the Lord, and if you do, hon, you're fixing to get the beating of your life.
Yep.
I mean, the Lord will really, you don't offend His little ones. You don't do that. You don't come tromping in. Oh, Jesus, how egotistical that is. You don't do that. And so, amongst the Lord's body, you are restricted. You really are. There may be a greater measure working in you than can be received there, and you are restricted of the Lord to share the measure that can be received there, that there may be an increase in that place. This is the truth. This is the truth. That doesn't mean that there might not be somebody there and not get upset, but those that are there to hear, this is true. What am I saying all this about? Here's my point. This is why we pray for one another. Hun, you must see the Lord. We must. I am as concerned that Christ be revealed in you as I am that Christ be revealed in me, because it's not about you or me. It's about the increase of the measure of His fullness in His body. That's what it's about. It's not about me having a ministry, any kind of a ministry. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about His body. It's about His body, hallelujah to God. It's extremely important then to me that you see Christ. You will see this in the heart of Paul in 1 Corinthians, Colossians, the first chapter, verse 24 through verse 29. You read that. You see the heart of Paul. It comes right down. We may have mentioned it even last night. It comes right down to verse 29 and says, "For this I also strive, and I labor for this, and I strive for this also, according to the working of His power, which worketh mightily in me." And what was he talking about? He was talking about Christ being revealed. He was talking about presenting every man perfect in Christ. Every man full grown in Christ. Understanding that He was a minister and a servant to the body of Christ for that purpose. This is a thing that works in us. This is our... See? For the measure... The measure, the effectual working of the measure in every part. Yes, the measure increased through the revealing of the Son. But it is increased through the exercise of the measure one to another. A measure that is not exercised is a measure that will not increase, because Christ does not appear in me for me. He appears in me for His body's sake. He appears in you for His body's sake. If we could just get a hold of that. So the door is to His fullness. The door is to His fullness. That fullness that works in each of us according to a measure, but that is to come to full measure, that it might have, oh my, an eruption. That it might have an eruption. See, I don't know that it can have an eruption through me, but it can have an eruption through us.
Yeah.
That it might have an eruption. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. I have seen some little bit of an eruption in the past 2, going on 3 years now. And it has not come out from me. It has come because of the faithfulness of those who are bound together in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I have no doubt about that. I have much proof concerning that. And I'll just say it and leave it. But I have seen whole organizations and whole associations turn with open hearts to the reality of the gospel of Christ and request ministry and all this stuff. And I am the first to realize this doesn't come out from me. This is because of the faithfulness of a people. Now, honey, that's not me being humble or me being... Don't say that. Don't say that. That's not true. I'm simply realizing the truth as it is in Christ. That those who have been and are now being faithful to the gospel as revealed in Christ and are bound up and are sharing that relationship and that measure one with another in homes, in buildings, in rooms, in conversations, in church buildings, in fellowship halls, in gatherings, in sharings, are beginning to have a tremendous effect in the larger expression of the Lord's body. Something of an eruption. Oh, hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Glory to God. See? It is so important that we share the measure one with another. It is essential to the body edifying itself in love. To the increase. Maketh the increase. It's so essential to that. It's essential to it. And though it may seem to be hidden, it will not remain hidden. It will have its effect. It will have its effect. Where? On the stage. No. It'll have its effect in the Lord's body. Hearts will be turned. Who do you think is doing all this turning except the Spirit of God anyway?
Amen. That's right.
But the Spirit of God works according to the measure in each effectual part. He works according to the measure that is coming forth in the whole. The Spirit of God will never bring anybody to an empty well and say, drink. No. No, there's got to be something working there. Well, this is good. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. Because this is not based on bigness or greatness or any of that. It's based on the measure working in you and working in me. And the sharing of that measure, the exercise of that measure. Yes, one with another and with whoever. See? But if I think the measure is just working in me and I'm going to go share it, I soon run. I was reading it today and won't get into it. I soon step out beyond measure. Paul is telling them, we will not step beyond our measure. No, we can't do that. No, I need the sharing of the effectual measure. Hallelujah. That's where the measure is increased. Oh, my Lord, hon. That's where it's increased. That's where it's increased. Huh. Yes. And the Lord sends hungry hearts. Come into a well looking for water. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Now we're here tonight, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to carry you a whole lot farther, but I just wanted to draw some things together. It was on my heart today to do that. And I want to turn way over. I would really like to spend another session or two, but we don't have it with this negative view of the door. The door is not into the wilderness. I just got to mention a little of it last night. In fact, I dealt with one point of it. It is not into the wilderness. Honey, the wilderness in type and shadow and typically here, but in the wilderness is a creation of unbelief.
Right.
Wilderness wonder. The wilderness is not, it is not necessary to God's plan that you wander around the wilderness. Honey, they didn't. They said, well, they learned in the wilderness. No, they didn't. They died in the wilderness. That's what they did. They died in the wilderness. They didn't learn, they died.
Exactly.
Now, you don't learn in disobedience. See? So we'll leave that because there's much to be said to it, and it gets really involved because the Lord really dealt with me in this, because so many people think that it's, you know, the wilderness is the normal place to be. Well, it isn't.
Yes, sir.
Our walk is in Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Now, to refuse that,
yeah,
you're faced with the wilderness. But the wilderness is of your own creation. It's a creation of unbelief, a creation of refusal to enter in and to walk. And the Hebrew writer picks upon this and picks upon it and brings it into the view, you know, verses that so many doctrinal issues have been based upon. But what he is simply saying is, and he's looking back to this, if you have entered in, if you have tasted, and then you turn back, he's looking right here at this crowd. Entered in through the blood, sat down and ate the flesh of the Lamb, came out in the resurrection, and then refused fullness.
Right.
There was no place for repentance. Why? Because they had already made nothing the blood of the Lamb. They had already made as non-effectual the blood of the Lamb. They had already counted the door as nothing. Now, I'm just saying what I've got here. Just, but the Hebrew writer picks up on this and brings over and says, see that you don't do this. He, of course, was writing in the heat of things because it was during that time that, my, fledgling little church overshadowed by the great synagogue of the Jews. Next door neighbors still offering animal sacrifices every day. Tremendous pressure, more than pressure. These folks were being these folks were being fed the lions. These folks were being hauled off, and you know. Well, under that, there was a turning back on the part of some. It was a turning back on the part of some. And the writers kept saying, look, the Lord has said He would deliver. There is a redemption for the redeemed. The Lord said. Well, when will He come in this judgment? When will He come in this judgment? When will that day of which He speaks come? Well, it is nigh at hand. It is just ahead. Hold on. Hold on. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Well, hon, they weren't talking about something 2,000 years ahead. For God's sake, get real. I mean, come on, let's just get on the same page. And the day did come. And the deliverance did come. And the destruction did come. And the resurrection bodily form manifestly in the church did come.
Absolutely.
But they were trying to turn back. Well, all right, now, here we are, 2,000 years later. Different pressures, different, yes, but same tendency. If you're mindful of that out from whence you come, you have opportunity to return. That's the reason, you see, hon, that God counts everything back this side of this door as non-existent. He showed that. He showed that to them in a big picture. They saw him floating around dead on the water. Egypt is gone. Unless you conjure it up in your heart again. He showed them that. You understand? When you go through this door and you come forth in resurrection, it is a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is newness. It is mine, saith the Lord. How did Paul put it? And all things are of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. In that new creation. In that firstborn creation. It is mine, saith the Lord. It is reconciled to me through death. Yes, reconciled to me through death. In it, the new has come. Not the old, the new. Amen. Not a reconciled old, but a born anew new, a resurrected new. Newness of life, yes. Hallelujah. But there are those that would go back. But you, when you do, you count the door, you count the blood. That's what Hebrews is talking about, and he mentions it two or three times. That's what it's all about. It's not about this Pentecostal idea of backsliding. Oh, Lord, help us. No. It's about going back in your heart. It's about counting the blood nothing. I mean, where else is there to go then? God doesn't have plan B. They just died in the wilderness. All right, enough of that. They came, and they came right up. Well, since they wouldn't walk in truth, then what happened? Here it is, the tabernacle. God said, okay, I'll just put it. See, he kept, God was true. We just mentioned it a little bit last night. We just touched on it. God is faithful to his point of view. God is faithful to the truth. Do you know that, honey? God sees you in Christ. That's how he deals with you. I see me in 50 different situations, and I expect God to do... No, he sees me in Christ, and he deals with me there, bringing me to that comprehension. I'll take care of the situations. Israel got to these bitter waters. God's answer, chunk of tree in it. It's the cross. You got bitter waters, throw the cross in it. The whole point that God was showing, Israel was the bitter waters. Christ is the sweet water. It comes with the cross. It's amazing he didn't say dump sugar in it. Go get all the sugar you can, put in that water, it'll sweeten it up. No, all the sugar in the land won't make you sweet. Or me sweet. Or make situations sweet either. Or make people sweet. Cross is the answer. Time and time again, God is showing them, the cross is the answer. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Put sugar on it all you want to. Not I, but Christ. The sweet water comes out of the cross. Not I, but Christ. They're a generation of snakes. They're a generation of vipers. You know what I'm talking about. Snake bitten. Snake bites. What's the answer again? Put the thing on a pole. The cross. It's always the answer, hon. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. So he sets that right there in the middle of the wilderness. There it is again. Same as it was over here, except now it's expanded under the law. And now, think about this, they don't have entrance, do they? You might think about that. Here they had entrance. They could have actually walked in faith. As many of Hebrews 11 is said to have done. Died in faith, not having received the promise, but, well, yes, embracing, confessing, and did come to that promise with us in Christ, did come to that resurrection with us in Christ. Here they are. So right in the middle of all of that, he puts the tabernacle. And they didn't have access. They didn't get to go in. You understand what I'm saying? They had to come up to the door. But now the priest, and only himself once a year, and only then for his own sins. You see the whole thing now. But the testimony is there. The testimony is there. It's there. It's there. Because while one group is dying, another group is coming up, and God is keeping them in the way and bringing them. But we get this crew, and this is what I want to say, and I'm going to finish tonight. He gets this crew right up to the Jordan, where they should have been and where they were 38 years before that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people before that. But he has brought a whole new Israel forth out of death. Out of death, now unto Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. That's the Hebrew term. Yes, it is. You can look at it. It's resurrection. One of the terms for resurrection. Stand up on your feet, come to strength, arise. It's resurrection. Arise. You and all this people. Here's Jesus and the church, friend. Here's Jesus in the church. And why are they going into Canaan? To express fullness. Let me remind you, they did not find fullness in Canaan. They expressed fullness in Canaan. David was not king of Canaan. He was king of Israel. God's dealing is always with Israel. But we won't follow that thought very far. But the point is, there was a transformation taking place. Here's what I wanted to show you. Let me see if I can find it here in the notes. We won't go through with it. I mean, we won't follow it through except to just mention it to you and let you think about it. There's pages and pages here, but where am I? I should have marked this. Well, I can't find where that starts, but here's what I want to say. If you can hear this, they get right up here, you look at Joshua, I encourage you to look at the first five chapters. And the 3 days in preparation, the change of administration, and then the appearing of the Lord Jesus. This journey starts with the revelation of Christ, not a burning bush, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a transition here, a typical, you know, in type, in shadow, a transition here that I'd really like to just deal with a while. A tremendous transition. It's a transition that takes place. They're coming from one view of Christ to a greatly increased view of Christ. And even and this view has bound up with it three administrative works of the Spirit. It is the administration of judges, which is deliverers, which we encounter in Christ Jesus. The administration of a prophetic priesthood under Samuel, which we encounter in Christ Jesus. The end of that administration was the anointing of the king. The third administration is the administration of kings, which we encounter in Christ Jesus. This is not a dispensational truth, for God's sake. This is the working of Christ possessing the land. If you can hear this, look at this. What is Israel? I'd love to lay 3 or 4 days of foundation, but I can't. We'll just jump into it. You can hear it. What is Israel? Who is Israel? Israel is my son. Even my firstborn. All right, let's remember that. Let's don't get confused with all of this 40 years. See, that's where we get confused. We get confused in the wilderness. Let's get rid of the wilderness. The wilderness is over. Moses is dead. He's been faithful to the Lord in his time. He's dead. Joshua, who never admitted the wilderness anyway,
no.
Who never wandered in the wilderness. Now, come on. No, he did not wander. He was there. Caleb, no. You know, they weren't wanderers.
That's right.
And the Lord even miraculously even performed a physical miracle showing That they were the same the day they entered in as they were the very day Israel refused to enter in. Their eyesight was the same, their strength was the same, everything was the same, except it was 40 years later. Hallelujah, honey. Well, that excites me. The reality of that in Christ Jesus. You don't have to wander in the wilderness, dear.
Amen.
You don't have to.
Mighty Father.
You can see people dying on every side of you, and you can be... And you want a minister, and sometimes you can find some to minister to, but others are just going to die. Why? Because they've turned back from the way. And there's not one thing on earth that you can do about it. Though we try. I mean, they had it all right there while they were all dying. These others were coming forth. They saw the same thing they did. But here's what I want to tell you, if you can hear it. They got right up there. Now the whole scene changes. This is not a bunch of people possessing real estate. This is the Son possessing His inheritance in the land. This is Christ in you. Starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ. God has told Israel, the only thing you have to do here is not make covenants with the aliens. Not make covenants with the residents. I will drive them out. My increase will bring about their decrease. This is the working of Christ in you. Hon, Canaan is the working of Christ in you. Somebody says, well, Canaan represents being in Christ. Now be very, very careful about that, because there are not seven alien nations in Christ. There are seven alien nations in me and in you. And they are dealt with in these administrations of Christ. They are dealt with in an ever ongoing working of Christ. They are dealt with and exterminated. His increase and their decrease. The increase of Him, the decrease of me. Because it's all me. It's in me. It's in me, hon. It is the Son possessing His land. It is the Son possessing His inheritance. It's beautiful if you'll see it that way. It is the Son who exercises deliverance and is the judge and deliverance. But you see, that only leads then to the need of the prophetic priesthood, which is the Word. We understand that to be the Word revealed in Christ. We understand that to be the living Word. The type of that comes over. Yes. What is the end of that? What is the end of that? Samuel, fill your horn. Fill your horn with oil and go down to Jesse's house and anoint my king. Ha ha ha. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, this is not another dispensation. This is another administration of the Holy Spirit. Now that's important that you understand the difference in those two words. That's important. Why? Because Ephesians 1, 9, 10, that in the fullness, that in the dispensation, and it's in your Bible, it's administration. It's translated that way. That in the administration of the fullness of time. And what is that? It's these time. It's this time here gathered up and brought to its fullness.
Yep.
Read it. In the administration of the fullness of time, He should gather together in one all things. Hallelujah. Yep. It's the fullness in Christ to work its measure in you. Glory to God. And there are times you will witness those administrative measures working in you against the Philistines, against the Hittites, and then in David against the Jebusites. Oh, hon, they're all there. And every one of them are contrary to the nature of Christ and the rule of Christ that is being worked in you and I. Measure by measure unto His fullness. Unto the recognition of His fullness.
Oh,
Paul saying that you would come to comprehend with all saints the fullness. That you would come to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God in Christ. Well, my. You see, the journey does not end by me possessing Him. The journey ends with Him possessing me. Well, having said that, I've stated my point. Because that's where this whole lesson goes. Now, I jumped over to the end of it. Because you can hear this, and you can search this out, and you can consider this. The journey ends with Him possessing me, till Christ be formed in you. Let's not confuse the end with anything else. Let's not confuse the journey, the purpose of our salvation, with anything else. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Lord, we just thank You tonight. My. Thank You for Your greatness. Thank You for Your fullness. Thank You for Your reality. Lord, just open the eyes of our understanding that the measure of Thy fullness may be increased in us, that we may share the reality one with another and as one with all who would have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to know the Lord. And we just thank You for it. May God be glorified and may the Son be increased in His own. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. It has been a joy and a privilege to be here and share. We've had a good time of fellowship, and I really hate that the car fell on Henry, but because of that, he and I have had a good time and opportunity for fellowship. I think we could probably have arranged it some other way, but nonetheless, we took advantage of the calamity. Okay. Well, we took